Good morning, everyone. Welcome you all here. To greet you in Jesus' name. In the devotions, Burton made the comment. He says, when we're with Jesus long enough, it will make a difference in what others see in us. Or something to that effect. Goes along with what I was planning to share this morning. The title I've given it is Character Under Construction. So when something is being constructed, it's in progress, it's being built. We know of a building under construction is being built, it's getting made or getting built. So we're going to think about our character this morning. Each one of us has a different kind of character or a different character. That's who we are. So the definition of character is the combination of internal moral and ethical strength that define an individual's nature. Character is who you are. That's you. That's your character. Now, there's a difference between character and personality. Your personality is what you appear to other people. We could say it is how you are. Instead of who you are is your character, how you are is your personality. It's how you appear. It's how you act. We could say character is like a long-term average of your personality. So how you act, what you do, the things you say, that makes your character. So I've got a story here about a person, a character. So I'll read that now. The title is The Weight of an Empty Pot. A short story about integrity years ago. In a thriving city, a powerful CEO was reaching the end of his career. He needed to find a successor to take over his empire. Instead of choosing from his executive board, he decided to do something different. He called all those young executives in his company together. "It is time for me to step down and choose the next CEO," he announced. "I have a special test for you." He handed each of them a single seed. A rare exotic seed. "Go home, plant the seed, water it, and come back here 1 year from today with what you've grown. I will then judge your plants, and the one I choose will be the next leader of this company." One young executive named Jim was excited. He went home and eagerly planted his seed in a high-quality pot with the best soil he could find. He watered it daily, placed it in the sun, and waited. Within a few weeks, his colleagues began talking about their seeds. "Mine is already sprouting," one said. "Look at the leaves of mine," another boasted. Jim checked his pot daily, but nothing happened. A month passed, 2 months, 6 months. While everyone else was bringing in tall plants and vibrant flowers, Jim's pot remained nothing but dirt. He felt like a failure. A year passed, and the young executives marched back to the CEO with their magnificent plants. Jim was mortified. He considered not going, but his wife encouraged him to be honest about what had happened. "Just take the pot as it is," she said. "You did your best." Jim arrived at the boardroom, ashamed. His colleagues were laughing at his empty pot, surrounded by lush, beautiful greenery. The CEO walked in, surveying the room. He walked past the tall plants, examining them closely. Finally, he came to Jim's empty pot. Jim tried to hide. "Ah," the CEO said. "I see." He called Jim to the front. "Everyone, meet your new CEO." Jim. A gasp went through the room. "How?" they shouted. "He has nothing." The CEO smiled. "1 year ago, I gave you all boiled seeds. Boiled seeds cannot grow. When you found that your seeds wouldn't sprout, you substituted them with other seeds to impress me. Jim is the only one with the character and integrity to bring me a pot with my own seed in it. That is the honesty needed to lead. The lesson is, true character is doing the right thing when no one is watching, even if it seems like a failure in the short term. Integrity, honesty, courage, accountability are far more valuable than appearance of success. That was a difficult thing for Jim to do, to show up with that empty pot. It seemed like he didn't do anything. It seemed like a failure. And for that CEO to look at his executives that he could choose from, how was he supposed to know who would choose to have deep character? That's the difficult thing about our character. We can't really see it. We know people, we know who they are, but we can't really know what their character is until you put them to a test and then it shows up. So we kind of go by the fruit that is produced. Okay, I have a list of character traits here. I have positive ones, I have negative ones, and I have neutral ones. So I'm going to ask you what you think of when you think of positive character traits. We'll start with those. I'll write them up here on the board. And then we're going to have negative ones, and then we'll have some neutral ones. So what do you think of when you think of a positive character trait?
Honesty.
Billing, right on my spill check up here, so. Something that builds up. That's a good list. Those are positive character traits for people. That's the kind of people we want to be. That's when we look at other people and we say they have a good character. That's the kind of people we're talking about. All right, how about a few negative ones?
Okay. Proud.
Deceptive. Offhand.
Unfeeling.
All right, we'll go with that. How about, are there neutral character traits? Some that are not really good or bad. I'll give you something to get you started. Cautious, decisive. What else do you think of? All right, I think you get the idea. Got some more here on that one. Methodical, meticulous, moderate, objective, observant, practical, things like that. Not really positive or negative. They're just how you are. You can use those negatively, but you can also, they're just neutral. It's just how you are as a person. So those are a part of your character. You can turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So that this is why character matters, because it's in our heart. It's who we are. It's what makes us who we are. And so if we are careful what we put into our heart, what our character becomes, because that is what is issuing forth from our lives. So we're going to look at an example of a bad character. This is probably the ultimate bad character. Genesis 3, verse 1. Talking about Satan, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Satan's characteristic here is described as subtle. Being subtle means clever, delicate, indirect, conveying meaning or actions in a way that isn't obvious or blunt, often requiring careful observation to notice. We don't want to have that kind of a character trait. We don't want to be subtle. It's hard to It often gives the connotation of manipulating, doing things quietly so people don't catch on what's happening. So we don't want that kind of a character. You can turn to 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. We need to be careful not to judge other people only by the way they appear to us. Sometimes we look at people and we say, he's got a bad character, or he's just a bad attitude. Or we need to be careful not to judge other people only by what we visually see or by the short term that we see them. Remember, character is a long-term picture. It's who you are when nobody else is looking. All right, we'll read Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 23. Matthew 7:15. So we're moving into the fruit that our character produces. We just said that we can't judge people by their actions necessarily or what we see, but we also know that our character is proven by our fruit. So we'll read Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 23. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. A corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by your fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Can you change your character? And why does it matter what your character is? What can you do if you don't like what you see when you analyze your character? Do Christians automatically have a new kind of character? Some questions for us to think about. So can we change our character? Yes, we can. To a point. There are things, we'll get to some of that a little bit later. But yes, we can change our character by analyzing how we act, what we think, what we're doing. And we can say, I don't like what I saw there. I don't like that attitude that I had. I don't like how I reacted to that situation. And we can mentally change what we want to do differently the next time. And that molds our character because we put that in the back of our mind. Do Christians automatically have a new character? To a point, they do. We do. When we're born again, the Holy Spirit changes our thought process. We want to be like Christ. So in a way, it does change our character. But our background, the things we've been involved in, also still plays heavily into who we are. we can read Galatians 5, verse 16 through 26. So this is talking about how the Holy Spirit renews us when we are born again. So Galatians 5, verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, longsuffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." So we see in these verses that when the Spirit of God dwells in us, that becomes part of our character. And we want to follow after God. And so we make adjustments to our lives according to the fruit of the Spirit. And we apply those to our lives, and we think when we react to a situation or we are tempted to do wrong, we analyze our thoughts and attitudes and actions, and we say that was not according to the Spirit of God, so we adjust that. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So if we are truly born again, then our character is formed by the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. We'll read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 20. Ephesians 5, 1 through 20. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger or unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is shame to even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved and are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So now we're going to move into what forms our character. I've got several points on this one. As we stated before, character is personal. It is who you are. It begins when we're very young. Even our little children have character to a point. We are forming our character without a map or without a guidebook. It just happens. Whether we like it or not, we're getting our character formed. Sometimes it seems like people go through their whole life without giving a thought to their character or why they do what they do and the effect that it has on other people. Most of the time we don't think about our character much until we get into a situation or a dilemma that forces us to stop and think about it. So, what factors play into our character? Environmental factors. So, the things around us, our family, our culture, those things significantly change our character. Our experiences, the way our parents taught us, exposure to different social and culture things in our church, in our school, in our community, make a big difference on how we turn out. You compare our children in our church here to some of the children in the community. You think about the difference in their culture that makes a difference in their character. So that brings a great responsibility to us as parents and school teachers and brothers and sisters to make a place for children to grow up that makes it easier for them to gain good quality characters, character qualities. So interacting with our families and those around us make a difference on how we relate to life. We see how other people do it. We see what happens when somebody else gets into a difficult situation. How do they relate? And so that mentally makes a difference in how we relate. And then if we have positive and supportive relationships, whether we feel alone in our life or whether we feel supported, makes a difference on how our character and how we relate to other situations. It's essential to have examples of other people in our lives, people we look up to, characters that have high character qualities, the people we want to be like. So if you want to be like somebody, pick somebody with good character qualities. One thing to remember is our character is formed typically whether we give it a thought or not. So are you going to be one of those people that has a default character and just land it however you, this is how you came, this is how I am? Or are we going to have one that's trained and conformed by thoughts and by the Spirit of God? We need to remember that our character is fluid and it's continually changing throughout your lifetime. You may develop character changes that make you a completely different person than what you started out to be. Now, this takes a long time. It doesn't happen overnight. But we need to, if we want to have character traits that are positive, then we're going to have to be intentional about it. Things like acknowledging and understanding your core values. What is important to you? Why do you want to be that way? That will make a difference on your character development. It will make you more self-aware and intentional. The more you think about it, the more intentional you'll be about cultivating godly character traits. And remember that the influence on our character does not end when we grow up. It does not end with childhood. The environment that we work in or live in have a big impact on our character and how we act and relate. We need to remember that even if we intend to have a good character, it is not our character is not completely shaped by our intentions. It is also shaped by other people around us. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." So even if you intend to be a righteous person with good quality character, if you live among people that are not, they don't care about their character, and they don't have those qualities, you will become like them to a point. So that brings us back to that verse that we read in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So we need to be aware of who we are associating with and the people around us and what they stand for. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Do you want your character to be like wise men, or would you rather be a companion of fools and be destroyed? So I've got four core principles for changing our character yet. Kind of goes back to what we've already talked about. First of all, you have to integrate your core values, what you want to be. Character isn't just knowing the right thing, it is doing it. This involves developing and acting on key virtues like honesty, fairness, compassion, and responsibility. It means aligning thoughts, feelings, and actions with ethical principles and ensuring consistency between values and behavior, like keeping promises or standing up for what's right. So basically, doing what you know. And when you're up against a tough decision, like the man in the story, he had to go to that CEO with his empty pot. That was a difficult thing to do. You have to stop and you have to say, what are my core values? Why would I go with empty pot, or why would I get a different seed? Back to our story. Sometimes we have to stop and think about what is our core values. The next point, fostering self-awareness and reflection. It requires understanding yourself, your biases, and your strengths. It involves analyzing yourself, honest communication, critical thinking. Critical thinking to acknowledge mistakes and to say, I was wrong and I'll change in relating to other people and situations. It involves moving from the internal understanding from knowing what is right to actually doing it. And that will help us to put fruit onto our character. Another thing that changes, another principle for changing our character is, I put it this way, character gets strengthened when tested. If you put somebody in an uncomfortable situation, it puts pressure on them. That's when their true character comes out. And it reveals who you really are. Not necessarily the face that you put on for everybody else, the personality. But when you're really uptight and you're in a situation that's difficult, that's when the real you comes out. Another thing, the fourth principle for changing our character is to emphasize good cultures in our schools and church and our families. Teachers and parents and everybody works together to make a community that reinforces the values that we want. So if we go back to our story that we read in the beginning, we need to remember that God is like that CEO, and He's looking for people that care, the people that actually have values, and they're not just doing things to look right. And then back to the thought that Burton had in the devotional. Where did I have it here? We could ask, why does this matter? Why does all this character stuff matter? It's because we are to reflect Jesus. And we could look at the character of Jesus and the values that He showed. And some of those that we had here would be character points like Jesus had. And so that's why it matters, is because we're to be Christians and we're to show the world around us the love of Jesus. That's all I have. Let's stand for prayer.